about today? Can we get a little preview?
You know, we are finally at that place where we are going to finish the series on freedom from pornography. We are on the fifth show, and I promised five. There was a couple of week break there in between because Mo has been traveling, I have been traveling, and we have been irresponsible in terms of finishing the show. So I called up Seth, the new producer.
Yes.
Of Smalley Marriage Radio. How does that sound?
It sounds official.
It is, especially for like basically a volunteer job.
Right. It's nice. In volunteer pay.
It is. Well, you know, just know it's very hard to fire a volunteer.
It's very true.
Because it's awkward, right? It's like, hey, we don't really need you. You're like, hey, you weren't paying me.
Hey, your free service wasn't good enough. Yeah.
That would be brutal. But we are going to finish. This is the fifth show on the Freedom from Pornography series. The first one, we just talked about the world and statistics of pornography and the danger. The second show, we talked about the porn addiction itself, that it's big, but God obviously is much bigger. In the third show, we got into sort of what does pornography do to destroy your relationship. That's an important one. You're going to want to go to SmalleyInstitute.com to hear that. And then the fourth one was You Shall Overcome, 5 Steps to Freedom from Pornography. And obviously that's important. Porn addiction is rampant. It's incredibly. I actually had a conversation with my 12-year-old. Oh, just literally, I think yesterday or the day before, he really wanted Pinterest.
Yeah.
And Pinterest is cool. I love Pinterest because
my wife loves it.
And all the other ladies. You had to bring that up, didn't you?
I did.
Know Pinterest is primarily a female thing.
Hey, but it was crucial in the planning of our wedding. So it was a good thing.
It's brilliant. And people build homes off of the ideas you find on Pinterest. But what irritates me, like everything else, is the predatorial nature of pornography. And I hate it for that. Because like me, or like you, I don't want to look at pornography. But yet, you just get inundated. It's everywhere. Yeah.
Has it invaded Pinterest?
It is on. Yeah.
I had no idea.
I had to teach my 12-year-old, okay, here's the deal. I can allow you to have this on your phone. He has an iPhone. If you agree not to have your phone in your room at night when you go to bed, because he does like to listen to music. Mm-hmm. And before Pinterest, we really didn't have an app other than Covenant Eyes, and you just can't get in trouble on that one. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, I'm willing to do that. And then I put another little few things. I'm like, dude, you can't ever browse. I think it's if you browse everything. So like you go into search and it's like you can view popular or everything. In everything, man, you don't have to. It's 5 seconds into that.
Really?
And you're going to see really inappropriate photography. Basically nude. It's insane. Yeah. It's absolutely insane.
That's crazy. Especially for me, my experience of it was just ideas for wedding planning and like crafts and stuff. Yeah. And to think that the pornography can invade even that kind of niche.
It's kind of ridiculous. And I actually, you know, if anyone from Pinterest is listening, I don't understand. I mean, Facebook has a pretty good filtering program. I just don't get why they don't solve that. Because, come on. The vast majority of us are not going on Pinterest to look at pornography.
Right.
But yet there it is. And if you click on it, you know, it'll go to the website and da-da-da-da-da. And so I talked to him. And said, look, bro, I'm open to you having this, but the most important thing is that just be honest. If you slip up, if you see something you know you shouldn't, or frankly, even if you see something you know you shouldn't, you kind of keep looking at it for a few days, I'm just begging you, I will never punish you. I will never punish any of my kids if they're looking at pornography. That's an important attitude with kids, because if they're afraid, then they're going to hide it. Mm-hmm. And that's by far the worst thing that could happen with pornography.
Yeah, and that gives more power to the issue.
Oh, radically more power. So I just told him, 12 years old, I can't believe I have to have these conversations with 12-year-olds in today's world. I mean, like when you and I were growing up, especially when I was growing up, it was like, you know, don't go to the 7-Eleven and buy the dirty magazine.
Right.
Right? I mean, I couldn't see it on television. And obviously my father wasn't going to buy video sets or, you know, subscribe to Playboy. But today, man, they right there, right on their smartphone, they can have full access to the worst conceivable things on earth. So, Mo's not with us. I miss you, Mo. I know we're going to get back in the studio together, but we got to finish this thing up. Today, we're going to give 8 ways to staying free from pornography. So, in the last show, on the fourth episode, we learned how to break free, but it's not just about breaking free.
No, it's a continual battle. It's continually being proactive in your habits and not just being reactionary to things you see, but making sure you avoid certain things and you're filling your mind and your life with the things of the Lord that'll keep you strong.
Yeah, because it's almost even like your faith commitment. You know, I always have to tell young people, especially, it's not just about that prayer. You know, you don't just say, Jesus, come into my heart and okay, good, fire insurance, I'm done.
Right.
No, I mean, Jesus said, if you love me, then obey my commands. So there's a continued obedience to the word of God. And that's very much permeating all of these eight things that we're going to give you to staying free. And let me just make sure that everyone understands, these are coming directly from Dr. Ed LaMance's wonderful resource called Exposing the Hidden Agenda. And I'm kind of stealing it, I mean, with his permission, but his Exposing the Hidden Agenda is a resource to help people break free from spiritual bondage mm-hmm. or spiritual oppression. And when you break free, this is the very next thing he has in that exercise is, okay, now that you've broken free, you got to stay free. And here are these eight things. So Dr. Ed, this is, you know, this is your stuff. And it's so helpful. And he's just one of these guys that came into my own life when we were dealing with our oldest kid with some spiritual things that just, oh, it's just so loving and so smart and so healthy. And we actually have that resource. If you want to go to SmalleyInstitute.com, you can buy, it's called Protecting Your Family. And that is a phenomenal resource on spiritual warfare and oppression and how do you break free from it's by far the most powerful spiritual exercise I've ever done in my life. Sweet. And I've done it multiple times since he handed that to us. So that is a phenomenal resource. So let's dive into it. Today we're giving you eight ways that you can keep strong after breaking free from a pornography addiction. Number one, and this is so funny, but the first thing out of the gate, when you sin, you got to confess it, repent it, and mm-hmm. yield it to Jesus. And so if your expectation after breaking free from pornography is that you'll never, ever, ever, ever slip up again, that's pretty unrealistic. Is that fair?
Very unrealistic.
Well, I would imagine, do you even know a guy, especially you're a few years younger than I am, not a ton, but do you even know, do you even have a male friend that isn't sort of exposed to, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
I can't think of one person.
No, I don't. And I was actually thought about this when we started the show, even just with like our year, a few years gap, how much even more my age was exposed to earlier age. And I do not know a single guy that has not had a early exposure and continued in something that they struggle with. There's definitely guys that have on a continuum of how much or how hard the struggle is. Sometimes it's super easy, and it's not, we would maybe even rate it as a non-struggle, but something that's conscious in their mind. And there's other people, it's a daily thing. It's an hourly thing that they think about.
And that's why number one is that you have to confess it when it happens.
Yes.
You've got to go to Christ. And because really freedom is about surrendering to Christ. Mm-hmm. And what would, I'm just going to ask you, we didn't even prep this one, but what does surrendering mean to you, Seth?
Letting go. You're giving the control. You're taking it out of your hands and you're giving it to someone else or something else. In this case, the Lord.
Well, and I also look at it as it's almost acknowledging my powerlessness over something and that, Lord, I need you. Mm-hmm. It's kind of right. It's that need. And it has to start there. If you're going to stay free, you can't, because what Satan wants is he wants you to go into the dark. Mm-hmm. He wants it to be silent and secretive because there, boy, he just has full reign to your heart.
Yeah. And there's so much power just in shedding light on your sin, just in that alone. Like, that's a huge step in being able to move past that, just the power of just Jesus shining that light onto it.
Yeah, and that's what you do, is you're pulling that sin up out of the darkness and going, Lord, here it is, and it's exposed to the light, and that's when healing can really take place at that point, because mm-hmm. it's not hidden. Number two is you got to plant God's word in your life. And Seth, I don't know about you. Well, you grew up with a pastor dad, mm-hmm. right? I grew up with a pastor dad. Well, I'm curious, what was, when you hear plant God's word in your life, does that kind of push any buttons in your spirit?
Push
negatively?
Any buttons?
Yeah. Like for me, when I hear that, it kind of makes me feel like fundamentalism, like, I love to be out of the box, and I used to hate that, you know, you got to study God's word and memorize, because I'm horrible. ADHD people, we don't memorize.
Right.
Like, I'm lucky. The only reason I remember your name is because we see each other every week now.
And the handy iPhone has it listed in there. It's nice.
It does. Your picture comes. I'm like, oh, yes.
That's Seth, the guy.
The guy with the beard.
No, the first thing that popped my mind was actually a Bible drill.
Oh.
From back in the day, which I did not enjoy, by the way.
No. Well, what for our listeners, what was Bible drill?
So Bible drill was standing with you and a few of your peers up in front of usually the congregation, and a verse was given, and you'd have to find it the quickest and recite it. That was one way. Or they give you a subject matter, and you had to find the verse.
No way.
Yeah, there's a couple different ways they test you, and it was terrifying.
I would have failed.
Oh, especially for myself, just personally as being one of the preacher's kids, I always felt like I should know more than I do. So when I didn't know something, I was like, oh gosh, everyone's judging me. Like, what kind of kid is that?
Hey, and Seth, guess what? You're right. Everyone was judging you. It probably explains a lot today.
It does.
It does. Well, listen, you're actually hearing Smalley Marriage Radio. I am Michael Smalley, and I'm along here with my cohort, Seth Johnson. Don't forget to visit us online at smalleyinstitute.com. If you click on today's show post, okay, we've actually provided a ton of biblical references to help you live free and stay free. So we're not going to get into all the scripture because it would take too long, trying to keep this under 25 minutes. So we decided to provide that on the website.
Yes,
so
please use that. Please use the additional resources.
Yeah, and go to smalleyinstitute.com, go on Keeping Strong, Staying Free, and then you'll be able to get a lot more in depth to what we're talking about. So one is you got to confess it. Two is you want to plant God's word in your life. What that means in essence, and what Ed encourages you, is you got to be hearing God's word regularly. So from teachers or discipleship, whatever, pastors. And then you want to be reading God's word regularly. Yeah. And that's huge. And I used to be so resistant, and I often wonder if that was just oppression in my own life, because when I look back on it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would I be resistant to wanting every day to get into God's word? But you do that out of a love affair, not out of an obligation.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Number three is we got to ask God to help you know when the enemy is speaking to you, this sort of, as Ed would call it, this activates your spiritual caller ID. So we need to ask God to help you know, well, what does that mean when the enemy is speaking to you? Do you even have a clue what Ed's talking about, Seth?
Well, just like when you have those thoughts or desires that, you know, you're unsure about of these directions you may be feeling led or prompted towards. Like, okay, is this coming from God or coming from the enemy? So the point two of knowing the word lets you have this constant reminder of what God is saying. Okay, so that's kind of built in. And so then you're asking God as well on top of that to let you know that, okay, what I'm hearing, is that line up with what you're telling me and what who you've called me to be and what scripture says that I am and who you are? Or is this leading me down a different path?
Well, because we have to know the truth.
Yeah,
the truth can't set us free if we don't know what the truth is. And you know what else this makes me think of is the enemy is also going to plant things, because especially for men, the easiest way to get you back into pornography is for you to feel or to think stressed out things about your marriage. And what an easy attack, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden the thought comes into your head that, oh, she's such a jerk, or she's just never this, or it could be your own, but it could also be a thought from the enemy, because the more stressed out you get with your wife, the more you're going to want to look at pornography and escape that stress. And then boom, they got you again. So number three, ask God to help you know that when the enemy is speaking. Number four, as a result of sin, all right, so as a result of this pornography addiction, you've developed habits of thinking, feeling, and choosing, which must be replaced with godly habits. So it's not enough just to turn away and go, I got to stop that. What am I going to replace all that stuff with?
All right, most definitely. And it's, for me personally, there was a time that this was a large struggle, and a discipline that helped me overcome was actually was running. oddly enough, because what it, I found out for me is that I would start being productive with my time, and instead of just, you know, all of a sudden, I'm just going to peruse the internet or whatever, I would then like, okay, I'm just going to start running. And that discipline in my life replaced for me that downtime and put a new goal and drive. And it helped me basically get these better habits. And also what that did for me is when I started disciplining one area of my life, it became easier to discipline myself in other areas as well.
Well, and God will give us a spirit of discipline. He'll give us the ability. And that kind of comes back to that first point of confessing and surrendering is that, yeah, I might not be the most disciplined person, but God is, and mm-hmm. God can do that through me. I wanted to highlight something you just said, actually. Downtime. Downtime is a bad habit. Mm-hmm. And what I have found from clients, from my own life, and it sounds like what you're saying, is if you're bored and you're just doing nothing and not really being intentional by running or studying God's word or whatever, playing mm-hmm. with the kids, taking your wife out on a date, those times of boredom and down and just nothing else going on, those are dangerous. Like, and you can't minimize that. Oh, come on, what's the big deal? No, it is a big deal, especially if you've been addicted, mm-hmm. because this is a lifelong journey, and we need to replace that, and maybe it's getting into a new hobby, maybe, you know, something productive, right?
Exactly.
I do woodworking.
Really?
I do. It's why I have this scar on my index finger. I can no longer bend my index finger properly.
Oh, wow. That's massive.
My kids make fun of me constantly. If you can only see, I can kind of bend my index finger in the shape of a C. That's as far as I can go.
It's almost like a pirate, like if you're imitating his hook.
Yeah. It's like a hook. Yeah, I did. Oh, thanks. Well, you kind of made it a cool thing, though, now. I've always just referred to the finger as the freaky finger.
It's still not cool.
No, it's not. So number four, you got to develop new habits. Number five, don't put yourself at risk. So be careful where you go. Mm-hmm. Who are you hanging out with? And look, when Jesus said in the New Testament, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. And if your left hand, you know, cut it off. People always looking, oh, it's so extreme. Obviously, it was a metaphor of flee. Mm-hmm. Run like the wind. Run away. And what are those things? And there's always different levels of addiction, right?
Right.
And so if you were one of those guys where it was a daily thing, multiple times a day, at work, no matter where you were, in inappropriate times and places, you might not be able to have a computer. You might not be able to have a smart. One of my really, really good friends had a major sex addiction, really, just with real people and pornography. He doesn't have a smartphone. And people will make fun of him from time. And I'll never forget, my oldest was teasing him about his cruddy phone. Mm-hmm. And then he used that as a teachable moment with my son, going, do you know why I have it? And my Cole's like, I don't know why. He goes, because, son, I really struggled with pornography, and I don't even want to be tempted. So he doesn't use computers. He doesn't have a smartphone. Wow. He fled. Now, not everyone has to be that radical, but listen, you'd better be if you keep falling and you can't stay free.
Exactly.
Get rid of it. Do you ever find that with people? Like, friends that have been really heavily addicted, do they tend to just get rid of all that technological stuff, or do they kind of hold on to it and continue struggling?
Most honestly, hold on to it and continue struggling for a while. And it usually comes to some sort of breaking point. They realize that, man, I can't keep in the same pattern and think that I'm going to have victory over this. And then some sort of drastic thing happens, whether it's, you know, removing TV or internet or whatever, computer. And what I found as well is that and this kind of wraps into point number six, which is spending time with other Christians who are seeking to grow, is when you cut those things out of your life, those people tend to rally around you and support and encourage you. Like, there's not the, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're having to get rid of your computer or anything like that. By no means.
Celebration, usually.
Exactly. And so that number six is huge. So when you do have to make that sacrifice of, you know, smartphone, computer, whatever it is, those people, one of the things they do is they celebrate that your pursuit of holiness and righteousness and that your pursuit of being continually free from this bondage.
Yeah, well, and in point number six, Ed says, we become like the people we spend time with. And we know that.
Yeah.
Our parents used to tell us, but sometimes it feels like adults forget. And I'm telling you, there have been, over the years, two or three guys, because I really, you and I are kind of similar to this. I treasure friendship. So mm-hmm. for me, I don't get energy by being alone and reading. I mean, I get energy with other people.
Right.
And there's been a few times over the years where I kind of have to realize, like, this guy's not good for me. Like, either there's too much anger or there's some whatever. Maybe they drink a lot or they just, you know, there's some kind of problem that I realize I don't want. Yeah. But yet, if that's who I'm hanging out with and spending a great deal, they're going to influence me.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
All right. Number seven, talk with God. So pray anytime, anywhere about anything, because the reality is that's where this freedom is going to continue. Is you know, what did the desert fathers, you know, it's kind of like pray unceasingly. That was their goal, right? These mm-hmm. ancient spiritual fathers like St. Augustine and St. John of the Cross. And it was their goal in life was to be in constant prayer 24 hours a day.
Yeah. And if you're in constant communication with God, that in itself is going to keep you away from a lot of these snares. And it's also going to be him talking back to you and reminding you of who you are and what he's called you to be.
Well, number eight, and I love this one. In number eight, Ed encourages you, share Christ with others. Now, what does this mean? When you're doing ministry, and I see it over, and actually there's a real famous, I'm blanking on, I'll put it on the post, but there's a real famous psychologist out of Chicago that everyone learns when you're in psych grad school. And what he found was simply like one of the best cures for depression was getting his patients out volunteering, helping others, really? Serving others. I'm telling you, when you do ministry for others, that it not only gives you perspective, but it puts your energy and what you're, it puts the energy, the things that you are spending energy on, it's on the right direction. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Well, and that's like the whole thing that you hear all the time from people that are in churches that go on mission trips and mission fields, how they always come back and like, man, I really feel like maybe I got ministered more to than the people I went to minister. Well, it's aligning yourself with who you are and who God's called you to be a servant to others. And then that's when God then turns around and like speaks to you and molds who you are.
Yeah, he does. And really, I think for me as well is it gets to focus off of me and onto mm-hmm. others and really onto what God is wanting from me. So Seth, what, you know, to kind of summarize this show today, what's maybe the big thing or the one thing that stood out to you most?
The biggest thing is that to stay free, it's not just a one time like, okay, I'm done with it. Like it is an active pursuit to stay free. And it's not a reactionary thing. You're being proactive in your daily life and your thought life, your disciplines. And it's not like a lackadaisical thing.
You're being intentional.
You are.
You can't just sit there on the couch eating Cheetos and think, oh, why isn't my life getting better?
Right.
You know, for me, I think probably the number one thing in my own life that starts this whole list of eight things off is surrender. And that would be my encouragement to you is you might hear these eight things and you're like, man, I don't ever read God's word or I don't have a church community. I don't have, this all sounds impossible. Good. Because at that point, then maybe you'll realize your dependence on God. And the more you're willing to hand over that control to him, the better it's going to be.
Yeah.
And frankly, no matter what you're dealing with, whether right. that be a hurting marriage, a pornography addiction, alcoholism, it really, any kind of healing starts every single time with surrendering yourself to Christ. Smalley Marriage Radio is brought to you by the Smalley Institute. If your marriage is on life support, reignite your relationship in 2 days. You can find out more online at smalleyinstitute.com or call us toll free at 1-800-975-8748. And we've reached that part where there's really just one thing left to say.
And now, it is time to say goodbye.